Welcome to the radio ministry of the Christian Crusaders. Please stay tuned and worship with us on this Lord's Day. Do you ever have the feeling that something is missing in your life and you are not sure what it is? Jesus talked with a man who felt that way. Perhaps what he said to that young man will help you and me today. We'll talk about this problem in a sermon today, which is entitled, The Missed Opportunity. Hear the word of God as it is recorded in the 10th chapter of the Gospel of St. Mark, beginning with verse 17. As Jesus was starting on his way again, a man ran up to him, knelt down before him, and asked him, "Good teacher, what must I do to receive eternal life?" "Why do you call me good?" Jesus asked him. "No one is good except God alone. You know the commandments: do not commit adultery, do not murder, do not steal, do not accuse anyone falsely, do not cheat, respect your father and your mother." "Teacher," the man said, "ever since I was young, I have obeyed all of these commandments." Jesus looked straight at him with love and said, "You need only one thing. Go and sell all you have and give the money to the poor, and you will have riches in heaven, and then come and follow me." When the man heard this, gloom spread over his face, and he went away sad because he was very rich. Here ends the reading of God's holy word.
No.
Friends in Christ, the recorded conversations of Jesus with individuals serve as some of the most interesting parts of the Gospels. It is in these stories that you and I can see ourselves. Many of the accounts end positively, and you might use the statement that the person lived happily ever after. Others of the stories have negative endings. They are really tragedies. One such story serves as our text today. It might be called A Man Who Missed the Opportunity of a Lifetime. Seemingly, this young man had everything going for himself. He was young, rich, had good position, and was filled with character. And yet he was not satisfied with life. So he came running to Jesus and asked him the question, "Good teacher, what must I do to receive eternal life?" Eternal life, as the Jews understood that term, was not to be confused with deathlessness only. It was rather a quality of life which included, as a part of it, immortality. Now I am sure that this young man was concerned about what would happen to him when he left this life in death, but he was also concerned about a quality that was lacking in his life at the present. Isn't that a picture of our lives often? Seemingly we have so much, and yet we are dissatisfied. It seems that we are even schooled not to be too satisfied, because that will mean that we will become apathetic and we will not progress to better and bigger things. That's the way we are trained in our American way of life. That is not always true as far as other countries are concerned. Some years ago, my wife and I were visiting in Norway. We were eating dinner in a restaurant near the University of Oslo. There was a young man waiting on our table. I got into a conversation with him and asked him if he were a student at the university. The young man said, "No, I am a waiter." "You see," he said, "in Norway, waiting on tables is a real honorable occupation." I went on to remind him that it was such in the United States as well, but that often, at least in our smaller cities, a waiter was a young person who might be working his or her way through school or waiting for another type of a job. No, he said, not so in Europe. I will always be a waiter. That's what I want to be. Now, I imagine that the American sitting there analyzing all of it would have said, well, young man, if you're a waiter today, you ought to own the restaurant 10 years from now, and 20 years from now, you ought to have at least 2 restaurants. We are schooled to move on to bigger and better things. And when supposedly we get these bigger and better things, we are still not quite satisfied. It is that longing for a quality in our lives that is missing. And so the young man came and asked Jesus, what must I do to have eternal life? What must I do to have that quality in my life that will bring me satisfaction? A direct question called for an honest answer. And so Jesus looked into his face and loved him and said, go sell what you have and give it to the poor, and you will have treasures in heaven. In other words, Jesus said, get rid of whatever stands between you and God. In this person's case, it happened to be money. I'd like to throw in a couple of warnings right here. Jesus Christ is not an enemy of the wealthy. Notice what the scriptures say here. He looked straight into his face and loved him. I have heard many a message of late that has been very, very hard on wealthy people. Jesus is not calling us all to poverty. How simple a transaction it would be for us to get right with God if we just gave up everything that we have. Jesus is the good physician. He does not order the same pill for every patient. We must be quick to remember that the Lord Jesus used the wealthy. While he told this man to get rid of that money which stood between him and God, he did not say the same to Joseph of Arimathea, who was a wealthy individual. Before we condemn the wealthy, whose money in the church we often want, we had better ask some questions. How did the person get his money? And secondly, what is he doing with it? I have soon learned that not every wealthy person has gotten his money by some dishonest conniving. Many of the wealthy people who sit on the pews of our church and who are not even in the church have gotten their wealth by hard work and the application of their talents. And sometimes when you take a look at how they're using their money, it isn't that all bad either. I have a friend who became a very wealthy person simply by using the talents which the Lord gave him. One day when we were having lunch, he said, you know, it's not easy to be wealthy all of a sudden. I'm not sure what I should do with all of my money. Some years later, when he and I had an opportunity to visit again, he told me what he had done with his money. He had set up many different foundations, and these foundations were being used to help people around the world. He has a large dairy herd in one part of Africa. He has hogs in another part of the world. He has a chicken farm in another section of our country. And he has gone on to build a home for handicapped children. This man is using his money for the furtherance of the kingdom of God as he seeks to help people and their physical needs while the gospel is being shared with them. I don't think that Jesus would have said to that man, get rid of your money. His money was being used to honor God. However, there is a second warning. You and I know that whether our wealth is great or small, and in the eyes of the world, those of us who are middle-class Americans are the wealthy, whether our wealth is great or small, it can stand between God and us. Our possessions can become our God. We can trust them for our security. They can control our lives, warp our personalities, and confuse our values. story is told of a rich man who was showing a friend around his castle. When they had concluded the tour, the friend who was visiting his wealthy friend said to him, "Yes, it is all marvelous. These are the things which make it very difficult to die." How true this really is. Others have written, "For 100 people who can stand adversity, only one person can stand prosperity." And there is a great deal of truth in that. And so if you and I find that it is our wealth which stands between us and God, then there is a word from the Lord Jesus today: get rid of it. Get rid of anything which stands between you and God if you want to have real satisfaction in your life. After our Lord had offered these words to the rich young ruler, he said to him, "Now come and follow me." A few months earlier, that invitation had gone to 12 disciples. Now, in essence, Jesus was calling the 13th man. "Join the team. Commit your life to me. And if you will, I will assure you that I will be your closest friend. Then you will have a friend who will never fail you. You will see great spiritual growth in your life. You will see how I can change those undesirable things within your personality. And I'll add that something which is missing in your life." That's what he said to that young man. And that's what he says to anybody today who is wondering what is lacking in his or her life. There is something between you and God, probably. First, you have to get rid of that. And then secondly, accept the invitation of Jesus to come and follow him. It was a rather tragic reaction that came from that rich young man, for he had to sit down and write Jesus a note. The scriptures say that when the man heard this, gloom spread over his face, and he went away sad because he was very rich. He could not give up that wealth which had become so dear to him. So he wrote, "I regret to inform you, Jesus, that I cannot become one of your disciples. Stop and think of what that man gave up on that day. He could have been the 13th disciple. He could have been with Jesus in the upper room on Holy Thursday. He could have been in that closed room in Jerusalem after the resurrection when our Lord appeared and showed his nail-pierced hands and his sword-pierced side. He could perhaps have written a biblical book. We might have had the fifth gospel, the gospel according to a rich man. He might have influenced millions of people. All of this he gave up for a sack of gold. And therein lies the tragedy. But I ask you, my friend, is this not repeated often? I think of it sometimes when I see some of our young people. They gather around our confirmation rails. They sit within our youth groups at times. And then all of a sudden, they're gone. When you stop to visit with them and ask them where they have been, they say, "Well, someday I'm coming back. But there are so many things that I want to do right now. And I know that I couldn't do them if I committed my life to Jesus Christ." Or I think of some of the young married couples who stand at the altars of our churches. Prior to their coming there in premarital counseling, we urge them to let Jesus Christ into their life, to begin to read God's word together as a husband and a wife, to learn to pray together, to put the church of Jesus Christ at the very center of their married life. And yet we don't see them around in some cases. So when you begin to try to reach them, they will say, "Well, someday, not now, when the kids come or when the kids grow up. But right now, Sunday's just for having fun. We're off early in the morning and not home until late at night. It's too embarrassing to pray together. And Pastor, the Bible is all right, but I don't want it right now." And so the marriage goes without any spiritual nourishment at all. And in some cases, soon the tragedy comes, as the people have not learned how to stand against the temptations of insensitivity, unwillingness to sacrifice for the other, and an unforgiving spirit. And so that union which started at the altar in the church is sacrificed at the altar at the divorce court. All because the couple refused to give up that which stood between them as a couple and God. But it is for all of us, isn't it? How hard to give up that which stands between us and God, which hinders our personal relationship. It could be money, it could be pride, it could even be our lifestyle. Yes, friend, it could even be our traditional religion. I wonder if it is not true that there are some of us who say, well, I go to church, and that's the end of it, I guess. But I really believe in God, and I confess Jesus as my Savior. I give allegiance to all of the dogmas which my church teaches. Isn't that enough? That's the way I have been raised. I think that that's the kind of a Christianity that I want. I don't like this idea of a personal relationship with God. That's not the kind of Christianity that I was used to from my childhood. And so the formality of all of this religiosity with which I have been raised can stand between God and me in a personal relationship where daily I pour out my heart and daily I cry, Christ, come in. And daily I reach out with the gospel to touch the life of another person. The Bible says of the young man in the text, he went away sad. I wonder if he ever rethought his decision to follow Christ. The invitation was open until he died. He could always have come. And that's the gospel for us today. If we have also said, by word or by deed, Lord, I'm not going to give up that which stands between you and me, not now. He still is standing. He's still saying, get rid of it and come and follow me. If we will do that, friend, get rid of what stands between God and us and come and follow Jesus, that something which is lacking in our lives will be there. Amen. Would you pray with me? Lord Jesus, give us the grace to examine our lives. Help us to see what stands between us and you. Then God, send your Holy Spirit to empower us to give it up. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you his peace. Amen. Thank you.
You are tuned to the radio ministry of the Christian Crusaders. We are pleased to have you worshiping with us this day. We hope you will tune in every Sunday on the same station and hear Pastor Larson. We are thankful that through radio communication, Pastor Larson's sermons can reach such a widespread audience. Response from you, the listener, is very important to Christian Crusaders. Your gifts are needed and appreciated. Support for this radio ministry is through friends like you. Therefore, it's important that we know you are a part of Christian Crusaders Radio Congregation on this station. Address your letters and your gifts to Christian Crusaders, Box 451, Waterloo, Iowa. Christian Crusaders, Box 451, Waterloo, Iowa, zip code 50704. Attractive memorial cards from Christian Crusaders are now available, free for your use. And printed copies of the sermons heard on these broadcasts are also available for the asking. The address again is Christian Crusaders, Box 451, Waterloo, Iowa, 50704. Conducting the service today, as on every Sunday, was the Reverend Homer Larson, pastor of Nazareth Lutheran Church, Cedar Falls, Iowa, and radio pastor of Christian Crusaders.